Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From VaultQuest.com, he joins us now. Brent, what's going on this morning?
Not much, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're good. You get the sense, Brent, that Jeremy Pruitt really has an appreciation for some of these SEC rivalries, you know, and looking at this one this week.
Well, I don't think there's any question. You know, he grew up in the South. He understands the league. He knows the importance of the league. He knows the fan bases and the passion that they have. I think that was one of the appealing things for Philip Fulmer in the process. I mean, it was not just hiring a defensive-minded coach, which he wanted, but also someone with a really good understanding of the league. You look at the three finalists Coach Fulmer had for this job, and they're all three SEC defensive coordinators, and they're all three guys with Southern roots, and that was by design, because I think one of the things that hurt Butch Jones was it took him a while to understand the passion. I'm not sure he ever understood completely the passion that is the Southeastern Conference. So, yes, Jeremy Pruitt has an appreciation for this rivalry. He has appreciation for what Saturdays in the SEC really mean.
You look at these last couple games and say, okay, this is what this Tennessee team is, or can they find another gear and crank it up as they move into conference play, you know, and play this big game on Saturday?
Well, they've got to find another gear offensively. They've got to eliminate some mistakes. You know, I still don't know what the identity of this team is offensively. You know, defensively, if you research enough Jeremy Pruitt, you know what he wants to do defensively, what they're trying to do. Now, they're not there yet, but you see what they're trying to get to. I think offensively, it's still a bit of a mix and match and trying to figure it out. There are some moments where, you know, you think you have an idea of what their identity wants to be, and then there's some other times where you kind of, okay, they got a big old bag of tricks here. What are they going to settle into? You know, Saturday was just formation and personnel after formation and personnel in that first quarter. And then they settled in and kind of got back in the I formation a little bit and ran the toss sweep and tried to throw it over their heads a little bit with play action pass. And then all of a sudden there's a wildcat formation. So there's a little bit of hodgepodge going on offensively as I think they continue to search for an identity. And part of the reason for that search is the inconsistencies on the offensive line.
Yeah, the line certainly has to play better. I watched a lot of Kentucky and Florida a couple weeks ago, and the Wildcats just ran all over the place on them. Can Tennessee, you know, can they find some success on the ground against the Gators?
Well, they have to. I mean, they've got to be able to run the ball against Florida and have some success doing that, because that's where Florida's most vulnerable. And I think Tennessee's coaching staff is not ready to put the ball in Jerry Garantano's hands, you know, for the entire game and, you know, say throw it 40, 45 times a game. I don't think that's where they want to be right now. So they're going to have to run the ball and be successful. I think the question coming out of that Kentucky-Florida game is Florida that bad in the line of scrimmage? Are they struggling that much in the line of scrimmage? Is Kentucky that much better in the line of scrimmage than they've been in the past? I think we'll learn the answer to both those questions on Saturday, depending on how Tennessee does against Florida's, you know, defensive front, and then how does Kentucky play against a very good Mississippi State line of scrimmage team.
Well, Brent Hubbs of VaultQuest.com, and Brent, you touched on a little bit about the offense and what the identity is. You know, it seems like the team is kind of built as much as maybe the offensive coordinator or Pruitt wants to realize that the RPO system probably fits their personnel, and with the lineman issues, how much more do you think you'll see it?
Well, you know, they've run it some, but they really introduced it on Saturday, Blaine, and that's a good point. That's something that they want to do more of. We're seeing RPOs everywhere, you know, jump out there. They hired as an offensive analyst a junior college coach who has really done a lot of stuff with RPOs. That's mm-hmm. his kind of mainstay. And he's bringing some of that element into this. Now, to run that, they've got to execute it better. I mean, they ran an RPO on the second play of scrimmage, maybe the first play from scrimmage, and the wide receiver didn't run it right, and that's why Jerry Garantano ended up keeping it. He wanted to throw the ball there, but the receiver wasn't looking for the ball, and so they ended up basically with a tuck and run type deal. So I think that's something that they're continuing to build on, and they'll do some. I don't think that's going to be a mainstay for them, but I do think that's an element. Again, I think the identity of this offense is just how multiple they want to be. I think the question becomes, when you got to have a drive to win a game, when you got to have a drive to milk the clock or put a game away, what's your bread and butter? And right now, I don't think we know what Tennessee's bread and butter is on offense.
Yeah, I'm still a little concerned defensively, as well as they played these last 2 weeks with the opponents that they've played, that they can't really get a pass rush, and that's going to make the secondary vulnerable, because then the defense is going to have to then blitz and leave them out there on the island, and then that's going to match up well with Florida, make it a little bit easier to make reads.
Well, you know, I think the question for this game is how many different ways can they make Felipe Franks uncomfortable? If they can't make him uncomfortable, Blaine, that he's going to, I won't say take him apart, because he hasn't shown that kind of passing ability, but he's going to have success, obviously. I think the key for Tennessee in this game is to mix it up. Blitz some, bring some pressure at times, that way when they need to, play some coverage on the back end at times. Watch Tennessee try to confuse Felipe Franks as much as they can with disguising some stuff. Now, how good have they gotten at that? They wanted to try to disguise some stuff with Will Greer in game one, and Greer, you know, picked it apart and read it, and then they started blitzing in the third quarter, and then, you know, he had a field day with it. So I think the question is, over the last 2 weeks, how much more comfortable are the players in this scheme to the point that they can disguise some stuff? I thought Alabama on Saturday against Ole Miss, look, they were going to win that game because their offense is so good. Defensively, I thought they did a good job of confusing the Ole Miss quarterback, showing him some different looks with the safeties, disguising whether it was too high or single high, you know, and different things like that, and almost baiting him into some interceptions. I think Tennessee would like to bait Felipe Franks into some mistakes if they can disguise it enough on the back end. The question is, are they far enough along in the scheme to be able to do that?
No doubt about it. But offensively, I'm so concerned with the offensive line and their consistency. And you look how Kentucky ran the football, and I just don't think Tennessee will be able to run the football like that against Florida. I think they're going to have to throw it around. So how much confidence would you have in Garantano throwing the ball 30 times at this point? I know he's looked good, but, man, if you hang your hat on and you can't run the football, at some point, maybe then you throw the ball to open up the running game.
Well, I think you've got to mix it up, and you've got to, you know, you got to throw the ball on first down, and you can't be predictable with your personnel. You know, I think you've got to throw it more than what they've thrown it. Here's the thing in this game for Garantano, for me. Florida's not going to let him raise up and throw a 5 yard out on a 3-step drop. They're going to jump that route. So this game, Garantano is going to have to make some more skilled throws. They're going to, and not that he can't make them, this coaching staff is going to have to ask him to make more skilled throws, because he's playing a better secondary than what he's played to any point this season. So he's going to have to make some throws. Tennessee has to run it somewhat successfully. They have to have some success running the football. Can they? I don't know. You know, I think at times you look at it and they block everything up really well. I mean, you look at Ty Chandler's long run, and yeah, his speed was fantastic. That thing was blocked up perfectly. That they had some other plays that didn't go for 80 yards. They might have gone for 7, 8, 9 yards, and the running back didn't make the safety miss, but they were blocked up real well. But then they'll have back-to-back plays, Blaine, where you're talking about, where they completely whiff on a block, and all of a sudden, you know, second and two becomes second and eight or third and eight because of a lost yardage play. So I think the question is, can they do anything consistently? I think they'll have some success. The question is, will it be any kind of sustained success, or will it be, you know, one step forward, two steps back in the run game? That'll be the challenge on Saturday night.
Brent, just to continue, we're talking about the offensive line, and, you know, I hear you guys talk about this on The Nation and, you know, the other outlets. And by the way, we always recommend VolQuest. Great coverage of Tennessee and college football in general. But what is the Vols' best version of an offensive line? In other words, is Marcus Tatum, could he be a better option at right tackle? Is it most important for them for Trey Smith to be at left tackle? What is the overall view of the offensive line in terms of that?
Well, I think when you look at what they've done through the last two games in particular, they feel like the group that they've started is their best version. They they didn't even work anybody else at really at right tackle on Saturday. I think Drew Richmond came out for a couple of plays, but he was in on the field to play the last series of the game. And Trey Smith played, you know, into the fourth quarter at left tackle. Jameer Johnson was a guy that they took out of the game and played Riley Locklear in there. But in terms of the tackle positions, it certainly seems like they find the most comfort in Drew Richmond and Trey Smith. I don't think either one of them played very well on Saturday. You know, I don't know if Trey's just not real comfortable at the tackle position, if he's just knocking off the rust, if he's better suited at guard. They just feel like they have to play him at left tackle right now. You know, we'll see. But, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the podcast that we did on Monday or Tuesday, and I'm a little bit surprised they didn't experiment a little more in that game with the offensive line, because even though it wasn't a rout, at 17-0, you had no concerns that UTEP was going to win the game. And so, you know, any final experimentation you wanted to make on your offensive line before getting into SEC play, that was the time to do it. And they really didn't move a lot of guys around or really didn't rotate a lot of guys in there. So it certainly appears that they're most comfortable with their starting five right now, which would be Jameer Johnson and Trey Smith on the left side, Ryan Johnson at center, and then, you know, Jerome Carvin, the freshman, at right guard, and then Drew Richmond, the right tackle.
Fair to say the wide receiver position has been a pleasant surprise, but will we see them get bolder in the passing game? Florida's secondary is vulnerable. Do you think, you know, we'll see that on Saturday?
The wide receivers have been a pleasant surprise given what they showed in preseason camp. They dropped the ball way too much. They haven't done that through three games. So, yes, they've been a pleasant surprise there. I think you have to throw more skilled throws in this game. I really do. I think you're going to have to attack Florida in the middle parts of the field, and also at middle depth in the field. Because, again, I think if you raise up and try to throw, you know, 7 yards out on a three-step drop, those corners are going to start jumping those routes. I think they'll play safety over the top and try to take some of the deep ball stuff away from you. So you're going to have to throw in that, you know, 12 to 18-yard range some. And that's not a throw that Tennessee's thrown consistently or ran. Those are not routes they've run consistently through three games. But I think in this game, you're going to have to make some of those plays and do some of those things. Here's the other thing, too. Tennessee's not shown a ton of the screen game. Do they screen a little bit more in this game and try to get the ball to Ty Chandler in space? That could be something to keep an eye on. And then Blaine mentioned it earlier. Can they stress and put some pressure on those defensive ends with some RPO-type throws? Is that an element? They gave Florida a ton of things to look at based off last week's tape. The question is, what do they hone into for a game plan this week?
And you know the history of this rivalry, Brent. And in the past, special teams play has impacted the game. The Vols have blocked some kicks or punts so far this season. Florida returned one for a touchdown and took advantage of a fumbled snap to the punter last week. So what about that area of this game?
Well, it's a key element to this game. And Tennessee's got to be good in the special teams game. That, you know, they've got to punt the ball well, and they have kicked the ball well in special teams. They've come after some punts and have been, you know, effective. They've got one block for a touchdown. They nearly got to another one on Saturday and have been aggressive there. Tennessee in the return game hasn't shown much. And we'll see what they can get out of the return game, if anything. And I don't have a feeling that suddenly this team's going to turn it on and be a great return football team, whether it's kickoff return or punt return. But their punt coverage unit's going to have to be good, and you're exactly right. I mean, Brandon Powell played, 12 years at Florida and returned a kick for a touchdown seemingly every year that those two teams played. So Tennessee's coverage lanes are going to have to be really good. I like what Paxton Brooks is doing on the kickoff, and I think Tennessee would be very satisfied if he continued to kick it into the end zone and put Florida at the 25-yard line and not have to worry about kickoff return. So we'll see if that can continue for the Balls on Saturday.
Do you have some sort of tether for Tim Priest for this game, or do you have like a get back coach for him up there in the booth?
We're trying to put some padding on the front counter to try to protect his fist when he bangs his fist, and to try to save the headphones when he throws them down going into a break. So if we got some of those eggshell cartons in there to kind of put for a little padding. We're trying to protect Tim's body, and we're also trying to protect our equipment a little bit. Tim will be ratcheted up and ready to go win this game. There's no doubt about that. And nobody understands the SEC any more than Tim Priest does. And this is a big game for Tennessee. It's a big game for Florida. Florida can ill afford to go 0-2 in conference play. Tennessee needs this win. When you look at the SEC gauntlet that's coming up, this game may not have the 1-versus-2 national profile that this series has long had. But for both of these teams, this game is very important in terms of postseason and where they want to get to in year one with new head coaches.
One last question for me. Schedules for next year came out yesterday. For Tennessee, your early season highlight includes BYU and also two open weeks for everybody. Do you think that becomes the norm down the road?
I would hope so. I mean, I think it's needed for player safety. I really do. I just think that it's something that, with the grind and the way the schedule is, I think injuries are a little bit less. I think it's better for everybody's body if you can have two open dates. And I think there's a lot of push for that to happen by coaches and people doing all the case studies on injuries and all those types of things. So I would hope that it stays in a two-game or two-week open date if that can potentially, if the calendar falls that way. I don't know that it will remain that, but I know there's a lot of people who want that to happen that way. I think the biggest thing for the schedule for Tennessee is the SEC gauntlet. If Mississippi State loses some of those defensive linemen, that looks like it might be a better trade, trading a home game with Mississippi State and getting rid of that trip to Auburn. So I think that's a positive for Tennessee. BYU, you think, well, that's not the most physical team until you watch them play Wisconsin last week and go, hey, you know, maybe the Cougars are going to be a different style of team than what they've been in years past.
Brent, thanks. Always great.
All right, guys. Have a great week.